Now it is. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Okay. All right, we haven't said anything too major. Just we started here on the Shinlein Zayin. We're talking about the reason why there's to be a tochen. There's a test. Hashem's testing us whether we'll do it in a proper way or not. We saw even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had to make ishtadlus. He was in the cave, and Hashem made a nest for him. He gave him the carob tree, and he gave him water, which was nisim. But he still had to pick the carobs and eat them. He had to put them in his mouth. You know, he had to lift up his hand and put them in his mouth. That's also called ishtadlus. We'll see. So we'll see. But that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us certain ways, certain means, different time and places where you have to do different things. You can only get what a Kodesh Baruch Hu's gozer that you're going to get. First, Hashem has to be gozer that you can get it. How are you going to get it? Satmas Ubach, what he means, but let's break it apart. First of all, Hashem has to be gozer that you're going to get this thing. Yeah? Then Hashem arranges for these different means to an end, these hishtadlises, whatever you want to call them, and you'll get what you're supposed to get via those things, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer that you're going to get anyway. But you have to do it through the emtsayim that are needed for it, but Hashem also prepares those. And the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer that you can't get, you'll never be able to get them. I don't care what he studies or how much he studies and how much you toil for it, you'll never get it, because Hashem wasn't gozer, you can get it. Hashem will hold back the things that you need for them. You won't get it. Mifchan Adam, so where's the Mifchan? The Mifchan Adam is Imu Ovedes Elokim or Ovedes Ritzoyna. In the means you make to get the end that you desire to get, that you need to get, will you do the Rotzen Hashem or will you over the Rotzen Hashem? Mitbare mitoch kavanoiso b'chirosei. It will be very clear which of the two paths a person chooses in order to achieve his needs. Besides that, he'll get the things that he needs, the panos or whatever that he needs, but he'll also get schav oinesh, depending on whether he did the ishtadlis in a halachically acceptable way or not. Did he do the rotzen Hashem? Was over the rotzen Hashem? Even if he doesn't get what he set out to get, he set out to get a certain panosa and he made the ishtadlis and everything, but he did it in a kosher, proper way. Even if he never got it, he'll still get scha for having made the ishtadlis properly. And if he gets it, it won't take away from the scha either. It's two completely different things. They look kosher the one to the other. The Chovas Lavavos himself, he said it, he's going to say it again. The ishtadlis isn't what gives you the thing. Because Hashem set it up in such a way that he wants to test you, so he gives you these means to an end and to see whether you're going to do them in a kosher way or not. That's the first reason. Mifchan. Hashem wants to see are you going to be an honest Jew or not. You're going to do your ishtadlis in a kosher way. You're not going to do it in a kosher way. Simple. Very simple. Interesting what he says, yeah? That if a person didn't have to go and toil and do different things in order to acquire panasa, as he'd rebel against Hashem and he'd run off the virus. He wouldn't pay attention to the obligations that are incumbent upon him. There's a big theme in the Chovas HaLevavos that for the Tovas that Hashem does for us, we're obligated to serve him. We're obligated to do what he tells us to do. That's that's the next Shah, Shah Vodas Elohim. So I think that comes before. Now that's Shah, one second. The Shah Vodas Elohim, just before. That's right, because right in the beginning he said the thing you need more for Vodas Elohim is B'tochen. Shabbat and Sakim is built on this theme that for the chesed that Hashem does us, you're obligated to serve him. You're meshubad. So he says something very interesting. If you didn't have to make panasa, then you'd rebel against Hashem and you wouldn't do the chivin that you have to do. Why not? I don't know, but I'd be more freed up to do what I have to do because I'd have to be running and trying to make panasa. He was so busy with music and the wine and everything that he didn't focus on what he had to do for Hashem. And then it says, "V'yishman yeshurin v'yibayt shomanta avisa kasisa v'tishas elokei asol." Yeshurin got fat and rebelled against Hashem. Chazal say, "Yofi talmid Torah derech eretz shegiyas shneim mishkachas oven." Yofi talmid Torah derech eretz, that the Torah in both of them causes a person to forget sin. Let's see what he means here. It means if you don't have to go after panasa, you don't have to make yishtalus in panasa, you're gonna have too much free time on your hands, and you're eventually gonna just get caught up in all sorts of negative stuff, and eventually you'll rebel against Hashem, and you'll turn your back on Hashem. You're just gonna be getting everything for free. You don't have to do anything. Whatever you need, you just get it. Gets delivered every day. Whatever, you don't have to make any ishtadlis. So you think that would be great. That would free you up, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, free you up to be Oyved Hashem, but he says it's not so poshut. Most people would fail that test. You wouldn't be able to do it. A person needs to be working and toiling in order to get his panasa. Otherwise, if he has too much free time on his hand, he's going to use it for all not good stuff. He won't achieve his desires in any of them, not one of them. This is a chesed. Rachem, Hashem had rachamim on us. Who would have thought such a thing? Pella, what he's saying here. Because Hashem has rachamim on you, that's why you're going to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Wow. Who thinks like that? Like a curse. And in fact, it is. It is. Mesilas Yesharim said it is. Why do we have to go to work? Because v'zeisa pechatoi chalechem. Adam Rishon didn't have to go to work. The Malachim did everything for you. He didn't have to do anything. He had to be Shomer V'Oved, which Chazal say was Torah V'Mitzvah. He had to keep the mitzvahs he had to keep. He had to be Oisek in Torah. And that was it. He didn't have to go to work. After the Chet, he had to be B'Zeis HaPechat Toich HaLechem. So it's a knas, it's a klala, and nobody pays more tax. It's a tax, the Mesilas Yesharim says. And nobody pays more tax than he has to, so you do the minimum. The Chovetz Chaim doesn't seem to agree with that. Chovetz Chaim seems to say this is Mamash Lechat Chila. Maybe after the chet, it's a lechat chila. You could say that this is built into the klal of b'zeis hapecha. That's why after the chet, we need this. I'm not choylek on that. Quite possible. But it's not what he says. He doesn't mention the chet bichlal. He doesn't mention b'zeis hapecha, teich alechem bichlal. The first is you have to be tested. Hashem's decided it's a good thing to test you. So he's going to test you via the shtadlus that you do. And second of all, we'll see the nafkamin is why you need these two reasons. And second of all, if you didn't have to go after this, you'd have everything just divided up to you. You'd eventually, yishman yeshurin v'yibat. You get fat and you get lazy and you would just rebel against Hashem. And that's why Hashem had rachamim on us, because he knows this. And he puts exertion into our lives, that we have to be also kol yemechai v'sogas tzachai ilam hazeh, u'bachonis likras chayu olam hava. You have to be involved in two things. You have to be preparing and giving yourself what you need for this world, because if you don't look after yourself in this world, you won't get Olam Haba either. And at the same time, you have to be preparing for the long journey. You have to be preparing what to take with you to the next world. You shouldn't have too much free time. You shouldn't have too much free time to go looking for things that you don't really need. Now, I'll leave everybody to do that cheshbon for themselves. We live in a generation where, wow, do we have lots of free time? Unbelievable bundles of free time. So much as, you know, that our grandparents didn't have free time. Today, we've got bundles and bundles of free time. Shalom, what do we do with it? Ugadei shelo yachko b'inyonim shebein ko lo yuchel asigo yisam b'sichloi. Gon hachakira. Person shouldn't spend his time on things that he's not going to be able to achieve with his seichel anyway, like chakira. What does he mean by chakira? So he says here down at the bottom. Yishelez ma lifnim u ma lacho. Shalom ha-chazal. Kol ha-mastakel b'dad ha-dvorim roi lo ki'ilu lo bo lo olam. Ma'lamata, ma lifnim u ma lacho. People that look into things and try and understand things that you can't understand. What did the Bria look like before Hashem created the Bria? What it looked like after the Bria? All things that are out of our range of understanding, infinite things. That what does it look like when things are beyond time and space? If shall, can't. So maybe you'll start spending your time delving into irrelevant philosophy and start asking questions and dealing with things of mamish irrelevant, but nothing to do with you. Maya kodem shenivra olam. Everything in its time was made beautiful. Even though you don't understand what Hashem did from the beginning to the end, you don't understand that's all there, whatever. Well, you must know. Everything in its time, everything's perfect, everything's good. You don't have to be chayke after things that you can't understand. Things that you have to understand. We spoke about that. Things that even it looks like you can never really understand them, but the things that you have to. There's rishus to understand things you can't understand. We saw that. I don't know who was around. Yonatan, you were for sure around. I think Eli also, when we did the
Adama. Yeah, we did it a few times.
We've spoken about. So there, we're not talking about that. That's Torah, and that you can try and understand as much as you can, fully understanding it. You can't really understand it, but you have a Rishus and you have a Rebbe. You have a Nefesh HaChaim who's going to hold your hand and take you through it. So then for sure you can do that. He's talking about other things where you're just speculating, you know, like amble wild, got nothing to do with anything. I mean, today people spend hours and hours talking about things and having opinions about things. And mamash got nothing to do with them. They're not qualified to have an opinion. Nothing. My kesher to you. You know, people have got an opinion about everything. You know, it's your political, democratic right to have an opinion about everything that you know nothing about. That's the world we live in today. It's crazy. Seriously, have you ever seen this? You speak about choshev people, they're standing in the base midrash and they're talking, and you say to them, what do you qualify? Everyone's entitled to an opinion. Yeah, everyone's entitled to an opinion. You'd like me to decide what brain surgery we're going to do on you? No, I want that. But why not? I'm also entitled to an opinion. I don't agree with the doctor. I think they should do the brain surgery. What are you talking about? You don't think about brain surgery? No, but everyone's entitled to an opinion. So what's this guy talking about? An intelligent guy, and he really thinks he's entitled to an opinion about everything, even if he knows nothing about it. So why are people standing around talking nonsense all day? Because they've got time on their hands. That's the world we live in today, unfortunately. You know? So that's a big nisoyin, and that's something a person has to be aware of. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us ishtadlus and makes us go off the different ways of achieving panasa is in order that we shouldn't have too much free time on our hands. Because that free time, if you're not used correctly, is very dangerous. We'll see if a person knows how to use his time properly, so then this nisoyin could go away. Now let's take this apart and see what it means. I'm destined to sit and work the rest of my life and never be able to learn. What's going to be with me? You see, Chazal are not big fans of that. It says like this. It comes out that somebody who prefers Avodas Hashem and he has a Bechira, he's made a Bechira to have Yiras Hashem. V'boteach boy. V'inyoni aruchnim v'agashmim. He has betochen in Hashem, in Dvorim, Sheberuchim, and Gashmir, we'll see. He's going to discuss something. It's also to have Betochen in Ruchnias. So we'll see what he does with that, because Betochen in Ruchnias. No, you have to do the Ruchnias. You know, Betochen. So we'll see what he means. Yeah. V'meisim alav es midas ha mugonois. He's removed from himself all the despicable midas. He's worked on himself. V'shoif le midas atoives. He yearns for good midas. He doesn't rebel against Hashem, even if he's living a tranquil life. And he's No matter how good things are going, no matter how easy he's got it, he doesn't weaken. He doesn't weaken his avodas Hashem in any way. Ve'ena yetzara ma'isis oisai. Yetzara doesn't move him. Ve'lo mispate lirdoi fachre tanuga o'ilam hazeh. He also doesn't have this terrible desire to go after the seductions of the physical pleasures of this world that bewitch a person. Adam Hashem frees this person up from having to be involved in the means that a person has to do in order to acquire panosa, because the reason for it is not relevant. The first reason is he has to test him. He wants to see he's going to do the right thing. This guy's been tested. He passed the test. Second reason is if the guy's got too much free time to come to the virus, this guy won't. He's going to use every free minute he has for avodas Hashem. He doesn't weaken his avodas Hashem. So once he's holding there, he doesn't need to make ishtadlis anymore, because the two reasons why you have to make ishtadlis aren't relevant anymore. That's this yesod that he brings down, yeah? Mipnei shelo shaychim etzlo shnei atamim aniskalila machayvim zois, because the two reasons we mentioned above aren't relevant to this guy. Shari oimed b'nesoyin v'boiche b'avodas Hashem. He passed the test and he's holding b'avodas Hashem. V'gam ein hu boit b'Hashem af im hu shroi b'toiva. Even if he's wallowing away in menucha and tranquility and everything's good, he doesn't weaken. He doesn't stop for 1 second. The panos will come without any shtadlis. Hashem is puke v'tzachov. Sorry, dais puke v'tzachov. Kamo shenema lo yar iv Hashem nefesh tzadik. Tzadik won't come to starvation. Hashem wants him to live. He left food. You don't have to worry about it. Hashem will give him exactly what he needs. So that's the bottom line. The bottom line is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two reasons why we have to make ishtadlis. We need to try and understand what that has to do with Gzayis HaPecha Toich HaLechem, how that fits in. We'll have to see. He doesn't mention that. But those are the two reasons you have to make ishtadlis. So somebody with those two reasons are not shaykh anymore. So he doesn't have to make ishtadlis. The Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is of the world. I don't have to make ishtadlis because that's the big machlokes. And the Gemara, we'll see, we'll discuss it more. We'll look, Rav Tauba sums it up very nicely as well. We'll see Shittas Rashi in this. Try and get a real proper thesis on how ishtadlis is, because there's no one answer for everybody. It's a very personal thing. We mentioned the Meshach Chochma brings that down, that betoch and ishtadlis is a very personal subject, depending on the time, depending on the person, depending on many, many factors. We'll see the Mashgiach also speaks about the schiut a person has. But the Chovas Halavavos has brought down two reasons why you have to make ishtadlis. First of all, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. When you go to work in the morning, you're not going to work to make money. That's the first thing you've got to get out of your head. Hashem can give you the panosa without going to work. We see that Hashem gives to a person who doesn't have to make ishtadlis. Hashem gives him anyway. So this is a bit of this last year, maybe. Just 1 second. How to do that. Okay, I hope that's a bit better. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I know it's a bit not the best setup here.
The Mishnah Berurah brings down that Roiv Am will fall into the category of needing to make a panasa, and there's a mute will be able to do like Rav Shimon Bar
Yochai. What are you saying? Yeah. I mean, I think that's self-understood from the Chovas Halavavos, because most people are still going to have any sign. We're going to work. You're still going to have any sign, whether you're going to be honest or not, for sure.
Yeah, so and I'm also, very few people,
when they have free time, or masmidim and use every spare minute for avodas Hashem, you know, people have free time, they use it for all sorts of shtiot, you know, we know that. And talking about myself, I'm saying, well, for sure. Yeah, so that's what Mishnah Berurah is referring to there. But we'll see this. I said, there's a very, very complex sugya. This is the Chovas Halavavos, and we want to try and understand how this fits in with everything else. We will see, we'll come to all the Rishonim, Achreinim, the sugya, not all of them, but some of them, try and get, because I'll tell you why it's important to do this, because this is where we really struggle with Betochen. The Ikka struggle, Nisoyin in Betochen, is Ishtadlis. Because you need to make ishtadlis, and the ishtadlis looks like it's doing something. No? You get a job and you get a salary. So at the end of the month, the check comes into your account. So, you know, if you stop working, you stop getting the check. But the work has got nothing to do with the check. Yeah, but it looks like it does. In fact, it very much looks like it does. You know, if I pick up the phone and I phone American, I speak to a guy and I'm a shachneim to send money to the yeshiva or whatever, and then he sends a check. And if I hadn't made the call, he would have sent the check for sure. Not even a question. But we don't see it like that. That's not the way we see things.
But it doesn't sound true, that statement.
Correct. It doesn't sound true. That's the nisoyin. That's why we're struggling with it. That's why we have to understand more and more and more what ishtadlis is, to come to recognize the ishtadlis law said klum. Nothing. Ishtadlis is other reasons why we have to make ishtadlis. It has nothing to do with you getting your panosa. Ah, it doesn't look like that. I know. That's where we hold it. That's what I'm telling you. That's why this is a very important part of B'tochen to understand, probably the most important part of B'tochen to understand, because we're all making ishtadlis. We're all Isaac in the ishtadlis and making ishtadlis, and it looks like ishtadlis is doing something. If Hashem would come along to you and say, you know, you make ishtadlis for panosa, I need you to stand on your head and whistle the national anthem three times every day. No, you do that and you get panosa. You think your ishtadlis has anything to do with panosa? Of course not. That wouldn't be a nisoyin. The problem is Hashem says, I need you to go out there and function normally. Function in the world normal. And so at the same time, know that your efforts do nothing. No, okay, so go, you live like that. That's not so posh. That's where we come a cropper. That's why it's more odd to understand the sugya.
When you say it doesn't do anything, it's not true to say that it doesn't do anything. Because if Hashem said stand on your head and you'll get parnasa, if you didn't stand on your head, you won't get parnasa. It doesn't mean that you're going to get parnasa if the standing on your head causes the
parnasa. You see, one second, that's not the poshut what you're saying either. The law poshut what you're saying. The law poshut, there's not poshut what you're saying. We'll see.
If you don't do anything, nothing will happen. Unless
that's what you're saying now. One second, that's what you're saying now. You'll see Rishonim and Gemara's. Hold on a second. I've heard what you said. I'm telling you now what you're saying is what you're saying now. And I'm telling you it's not so poshut. There's many makairas that seem to indicate that even if you wouldn't make the ishtadlis, you're going to get what you're going to get. You'll get punished for not making the ishtadlis. But the what you're going to get either way. There's nothing to do with your ishtadlis. And we'll see the Chovos HaLevavos himself says that. Ishtadlis einu moel. It doesn't do anything.
So then it just happens to be a strange occurrence that if you don't do anything, you don't get anything.
Once again, we'll deal with that question as well. All I'm trying to say at this stage, I don't want to get into all of this now because we haven't learned it properly. What we're doing now is what we did before we learned the Chovos HaLevavos, and we're speculating based on our gut feelings and what we see and how we deal. No, we want to learn the sugya properly and come away with clear principles. That's what we want to do. Okay. We may not come away with exactly what I want to achieve because this is a lifetime's work. But what I'm saying is there's many answers to your question. The most classic answer to your question is Hashem may want to hold back your panosa, and he'll put a chuk in your cob for you to stop working. So you'll stop working and you'll see the money never came. Wow, you see, if I don't work, I don't get money. Yeah, but that's an isoin also. You know, Rav Shaina, when he spoke, this is a mamasha, it's a pella, when he spoke in the yeshiva, I don't know how many of you were there, when Yitzhak Shaina, Shostak and Guzinzon spoke in the Chanukah Masiba, how many years ago? 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and he lost Oche. Anyway, and it was just after Moshe Reichman, the big billionaire in Canada passed away. And Rav Shaina said that Moshe Reichman told him, he said, you know, I became very wealthy. Hashem wanted to give me lots of money. So I put a chuk in my head to buy a building. So I bought a building. And from that, I made lots and lots of money. He said, one day Hashem wanted to make me poor. He wanted to take away my money. So I put a chuk in my cup to buy a building. And I bought a building and I lost a fortune. In other words, that's how a person has to look at ishtadlis. Even that, and that's what he said. One second. And that's what he said himself. That's what he said. That Hashem is the one who's preparing the ishtadlis for you in order to give you what he was geizer to give you in the first place.
I didn't hear him say
many
that.
Many Rishonim and many Achronim said that if you don't do the ishtadlis, you'll get what you've got to get as well. Others seem to say, we'll see also, others seem to say it's a t'nai. It doesn't do anything, but it's a t'nai. It means if you don't do it, Hashem won't give you. We'll see. We'll go through a message, Hashem. We'll have a bit of an understanding of who says what by the time we finish. All I want to get across there, the only point I'm trying to make is I want to get into this whole discussion because we don't have the kalim to deal with this discussion other than our own gut feelings, which are not irrelevant, but we first want to see what the Torah says. But all I'm trying to get across is a very important sugya because this is where your betochen gets challenged. We're trying to become Baalei Betochen. That's our goal, right? We want to become Baalei Betochen. So what's preventing me coming a Baal Betochen? There are many things. One of the biggest things that gets in my way of Betochen is this. Because Betochen means you do nothing. Hashem gives you what you want. Panosah shel Adam kotzev mi Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah. You can't do anything to add to it. You can't do anything to take away from it. You can't. Get that out of your head. And now it comes along and says, yeah, but you have to make ishtadlis. And if you make ishtadlis, you see you do get it. If you don't make ishtadlis, you don't get it. Whoa. The Babele Tarosh. And your betochen suffers because of that. And that's why it's ma'od chashuv to have this sugya clear. Because there's nothing that's going to mess up your betochen more than an incorrect understanding of ishtadlis. We'll see Mitzvah when we see Rav Dessler. Some of you have seen that with us, with me already. Eli for sure remembers. We did the Rav Dessler's mahalach on what ishtadlis is. The ishtadlis is there for one reason only, to protect your betochen. The amount of ishtadlis, when you have to make less ishtadlis, more ishtadlis is all tolu on your level of betochen and how to go further in betochen. That's how much ishtadlis you have to make. It means the biggest baal tochen in the world could make more ishtadlis than a guy who's got less betochen. Guy who's got less betochen may have to make less ishtadlis, not more ishtadlis. Counterintuitive, but you'll see, we'll go through, we'll see. We'll see of this. We'll go through the Yalkut Bezrat Hashem. We'll see the whole sugya. It's a murkav, unbelievable sugya. But we need to get this clear for this reason, because the ishtadlis is what interferes with the betochen. And we want to become bigger by the betochen. And what's holding us back is a bilbul adas about how ishtadlis fits in here. Because that's the challenge. That's the real challenge. If you're one of these guys that he's talking about that's not relevant to us, that you're already potter from ishtadlis, fine, you don't have a problem. You don't make ishtadlis, you get whatever you need. Like they say, the last two that lived like that, by the way, was the Leshem, Rabbi Lashem's grandfather, and the Chazanish. The last two people that were able to live on that darga, where they made no ishtadlis and it made no difference to them. It was food, there was food. If there wasn't food, there wasn't food. The Chazanish himself said, I never know if I need to eat or not. If my wife gives me food, I understand I have to eat. Otherwise, I wouldn't know that I need to eat. Okay, so when you're holding there, then you don't have to make ishtadlis, because if there's food or there's no food, lo echpat lecha. Maybe we needed other responsibilities to feed other people. He would make ishtadlis. I'm not saying, but for himself, he never made ishtadlis. And the Leshem also, he never made any ishtadlis. What came, what didn't come. If Rav Levine brought him chalas for Shabbos, he had chalas. And if not, he did it. And it didn't maziz it. Briskerov also lived like that. But the last two that lived like that was the Chazanish and the Leshem. Today we don't live like that. Today we have to make ishtadlis. But you have to daven that the ishtadlis doesn't mabalbel your head, doesn't dray your cup. You remind me next week, Bezrat Hashem, Jonathan, I'll tell you a maisa shahoyo for me. It happened to me. Jonathan hung around my office quite a lot in the good old days. You know what my work involved, sometimes fundraising. I'll tell you a moedika maisa that happened to me that proves that the ishtadlis has nothing to do with it. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Look, I should be ishtadlis. And Hashem showed it to me. I once asked a shaila to the Rav. I felt that I shouldn't make ishtadlis in a certain area, because I felt if I'd make ishtadlis, I would think the ishtadlis did something and it would be mazik ma betochen. That was my question to the Rav. And the Rav said to me, today we make ishtadlis. No one's potter from ishtadlis. You have to make ishtadlis. But daven to Hashem, that it doesn't mubalbel you, that you don't get mubalbel, that you make ishtadlis, what comes in, and that's it. I'll just tell you quickly, that story is a bit of a longer one, so I'm not going to tell you now, but I'd say the same, Rav. I wasn't sure. There was a guy who gives me money every year, and it usually comes in just before Pesach. Pesach that year was a little bit early, and it was a big donation. It comes from a foundation, and it comes in every year. You send them an email, and then they send the money. So I'd reached out to them to ask them if I'm getting the money before Pesach, and they wrote a letter back saying, you'll have it by the end of the month. The end of the month was after Pesach already, and I needed it before Pesach. But I've made my shtadlis. Hashem knows I need it before Pesach, so if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I can't do anything more to change that. So now I don't know what to do. So now I'm waiting. The money doesn't come. Eventually I put sets. I fail the test dismally. And no, maybe not. We'll see now. But I fire off an email. The next day the money hits the account. So that's bullshit. I sent it. So I went to the Rav and I told him. There's a Rav that I discuss his issues with. He puts up with my nonsense. So I said to him, look what I did. I feel miserable. You know, like I feel like doing tshuva for sending off that email. He said, "Begedi ishtadlus, it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. That's ishtadlus. You need the money. You're under pressure. You're right to go and tell him. He'll send it to you. I won't send it to you. That's not your business, but it was the right thing to do in ishtadlus." He says, "But tell me something. How do you know that he got the email? Maybe he never got the email. Maybe he's a local shoot email. Maybe he never got the email. How do you know?" I said, "I could phone him and ask him." No, but I'm saying, it depends how you're living, depends how you're working. It could be, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'm just saying that there's the little things that happen in a person's life. You have to look out for those moments. The other story I'll tell you is Nifla. I don't know if you've got time now. I don't mind. I'll tell you now. I don't know if the Oilam has time. It's late. It takes a few minutes if you want. Otherwise, we can tell it next week. I don't know. Yeah, you want to hear it now, Jonathan?
We like stories.
Okay.
No, stories draw
to her. So I'll tell you what happened is the yeshiva was in a, this is about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I've told the story before. The yeshiva was mamash under pressure. So I started making more ishtadlus, whatever, but I felt too much ishtadlus is also not good. That's when I went to the Rav, and I felt if I make too much ishtadlus, there's a chola zikuti. So they told me, no, you have to make ishtadlus, and you just daven that it doesn't mabavel your rosh. So I found a certain person and he told me, yeah, with pleasure, give me your bank details and I'll send you some money. And I'll give him the bank details. A few days later, I open up the bank account. I go online, open the bank account, and there's one line above each other. Like mamish, two lines. One and then the next line is this guy's donation for a certain amount. It happened to be equivalent to £1,000. It was in shekels, but I, it was a strange number. And only afterwards I worked out that it was equivalent to £1,000. This guy, Sheikhus, he's not British, but he's Sheikhus to England. Maybe he had money in England. He gave me the equivalent of £1,000. And on the next line was an exact same amount. Exact same amount in shekels, £1,000 from somebody. The way it works is like this. There's a stocker. People want to get a tax receipt in England. So I'm not set up in England. So there's a company there that does it. That's what they do, yeah? People donate money to them and they issue a receipt and they send me the money. So I'm signed up with them. I have an account with them. And if people want to donate money to me, they send money to them. Now, I haven't been to England for a long time, which means I get very little money from these guys now because I'm not set up in England. I don't have money coming in then. I'm not fundraising in England. Now and again, an old Talmud will send a bit of money or whatever. Well, they're more ordinary dear. It doesn't happen often. It's rare. But there's the exact same amount on the next line in my account from this company in England. They send it from their local bank account. The exact same amount. Now, I know that I haven't done any fundraising in England. And I know that I don't have anybody in England, even the old Talmudian. They send me £50, £100, but £1,000. There's no one in England that sends me that money. I'm not fundraising there. So where did that money come from? So I pick up the phone and I phone them. It took me a while to get hold of them. To ask them what's this amount, and they give me the name of the person who made. I thought maybe it was a mistake, but it was mamash on the next line, the exact same amount. So she tells me who it was. It was an ex bocher of the yeshiva, and he sent me this money. I didn't ask him. I hadn't spoken to this bocher for maybe, I don't know, 8 years. He left the yeshiva a long time ago, and I mean I spoke to him once or twice, but I lost contact with him, and I had no shaykhus to him. He woke up one morning and sent me the exact same amount that this guy that I did phone sent me. And there they are in the bank account sitting there together. So that was my tefillah answered. I made ishtadlus with the one guy and I got the money. So Hashem said, fine, so you think it's because of ishtadlus? I can send you the exact same amount without you making any ishtadlus from the last place in the world you would think. If I was phoning people in England to fundraise, this guy would have been the last guy that I would have phoned. And if I would have even phoned him, bichlal. First of all, I know he doesn't have money. I heard that he was struggling a little bit. And second of all, I don't have that much shaykhus with him. He wasn't in the yeshiva that long. I don't have much kesher with him. By the way, the next year when I did approach him for money, he sent me £15. You know, I thought I was onto a good thing now. This guy sending £1,000. He must have something, I don't know, whatever. He must have had shares. He sold some shares. He had some prop, whatever. But that's what you're looking for. It's those moments. That for me was like one of the biggest moments. Because that just showed me. It was a kiss from Hashem. Had it been some irrelevant amount, it was the exact same amount. One guy sitting in Israel, one guy sitting in London, both decided to send me the exact same amount on the same day. And it's there. I can show you the printout. It's mamash there, one after the other on the daf. There's the one I made ishtadlis, and there's the one I didn't make ishtadlis. Hashem showed me. So that's it. You have to daven very hard that when you make ishtadlis, you don't get confused. That's all. And now you go make ishtadlis, and you have betochen, and you learn, and we grow. But we want to go further and further with our betochen. That's the goal, no? So ishtadlis is always going to get in the way. You have to get around ishtadlis. You have to grapple with this thing called ishtadlis. And the Chovas HaLevavos is not so poshut. His approach to ishtadlis, we'll see when we see other approaches, you'll see it's not poshut at all. But I first want to see what he has to say. I don't want to go into the others and get confusing. I want to see what he says, because he's the benchmark. And then we look at everybody else. Okay.
All right.
I'm not going to make you any easier. I've been seeing the Chovas HaLevavos for 30 years. I've been learning Chovas HaLevavos. And I'm still battling with this. It's still a struggle. It's a massive ordeal. We live in a histoponic. We live in a world where we don't see things that clearly. Every day you get a bit more betochen, a bit more betochen. Hashem shows you more war. But the philosophical struggle of hishtadlis betochen is mod kashe, mod kashe.
The Seder. It's very difficult. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Looking forward to going through it.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of Hanukkah. Freilinke Hanukkah, good Chodesh, and we'll see you guys next month. Next Monday, yeah, Bezrat Hashem. We should all be around and be well. Take good care.
You too, bye.